Good morning. We're going to go fast because we've got two of us sharing this. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. We're going to present the report from the National Academy of Sciences on child maltreatment research that's just been released. It was the report released, as you can see, was on September 12th. And I want to thank all of you, and I also want to acknowledge the contributions of the members of the board who of the panel who helped us put this together and the staff. Child abuse is clearly an important, serious public health problem. The good news over the past 20 years has actually been a threefold increase in scientific publications. Nevertheless, over 6 million children are reported to Child Protective Services in the last year. And we know from work on the ACEs that child abuse and neglect problems are not limited to just childhood, but they have significant consequences for the victims throughout life, for their families, and for society. And I think it's also important to note that there's an important societal cost of over $80 billion a year annually. And the panel was really concerned that this public health problem requires an immediate, coordinated response with high-level federal support. The committee of 16 members was appointed by the Institute of Medicine, was asked to build on the review of existing literature on child abuse and neglect, identify research that provides knowledge relevant to programmatic research and policy needs, and recommend research priorities for the next decade. This is the panel. Ann Peterson, who chaired the earlier report in 1993, was the chair here, and you can see the members listed. Carol Hafford and I are presenting today on behalf of this group. As already mentioned, the National Child Abuse and Neglect Data System data includes 3.4 million child abuse and neglect referrals for almost 6 million children. However, the good news is that there are some incident trends that are important. Both sexual and physical abuse appear to be declining since 1993. Neglect statistics vary in different states, and overall the national trend line does not suggest that neglect is declining. Further work needs to be done to try and explain why that, what might be happening. So the committee made a variety of recommendations, and I'll talk a little bit. One of the research priorities they recommended is to develop a better understanding of trends in the incidence of child abuse and neglect, and to know why some forms of abuse are going down, and to understand why neglect might not be. The report noted that their risk and protective factors have been identified in a lot of non-experimental and correlational studies, but the causal mechanisms are still not well understood. And there is strong evidentiary support for three specific risk factors: parental substance abuse, parental depression, and a parental history of abuse and neglect. There are some research priorities on causality, including development of high-quality, qualitative, and quantitative studies on causality. And we felt once more that there was a need for longitudinal studies in this area. And also innovative experimental studies that would allow tests of causality. We noted that lots of research has used an ecological model and that that continues to be a promising approach with individual community, family, and contextual factors being studied. In terms of consequences, child abuse and neglect affect all aspects of development, including brain and cognitive development, social development, and that there are cascading effects over time. That we see in infancy problems in terms of attachment and self-regulation. During middle childhood, we see internalizing and externalizing problems. And during adulthood, we know the increased risks for arrests, for substance abuse, for depression, anxiety, and also poor parenting. But an important observation is that some children fare better than others, and more work needs to be done to understand why some children escape the destiny of that child abuse would inflict. So the research priorities that the committee developed for the field include enhancing understanding of the separate and synergistic consequences of different forms of abuse and neglect, enhanced understanding of the mechanisms by which the abuse and neglect harms children, and that one of the other observations was that the script isn't written in life on the basis of abuse and neglect. They have pernicious effects, but research demonstrates that change is possible and that children do recover.
Good morning, everyone.
Go
So what has changed since the 1993 report was issued is that we do know a lot more about what works. We know about interventions and service delivery strategies that have been found to ameliorate child abuse and neglect and to improve parenting practices. These interventions are based on evidence-based models and also well-tested theories. There's been two areas in particular where there have been great strides made over the years, the first in terms of prevention and successful and promising programs. Most notably in terms of early home visiting, and there's been a significant federal investment over the past few years since the implementation of the Affordable Care Act to expand national models such as the Nurse Family Partnership, Parents as Teachers, Healthy Families America. There's also been an effort to introduce public awareness campaigns that are more universal and population-based, such as the CDC's Essential of Childhood Initiative. In terms of parenting education, some effective models that have been implemented include Triple P, promoting positive parenting. And then there's also been professional practice reform, such as including screenings for risk factors and suspected abuse and neglect in primary care settings. In terms of treatment, trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy has proven successful and to help address the effects of abuse and trauma, and also the establishment of parent management training programs that emphasize parent-child interaction, with less attention focused on more didactic parenting education settings, but placing the emphasis on the interaction between parent and child. And while we know what works, the most pressing research questions relate to how the interventions can be taken to scale and how to improve program impacts and reach. And this is not an easy task. How do we test, replicate, sustain, and integrate these programs into an effective system of care in our communities? The committee acknowledged that a wide gap exists between the available evidence, based interventions and practices, and effective methods for dissemination and implementation and sustainment. This is a critical concern because of potential public health benefits rest in the implementation and sustainment in usual care settings, such as child welfare, mental health, substance abuse, and primary care. And the success of these efforts is influenced by both the practice and the process of implementation. So it's very important to consider both. The arc of our research focused on scope of the problem, causes, consequences, interventions that are proving effective, and then led us to examine system-level responses, and particularly focused on the public child welfare system. The public child welfare system addresses child protection, family-centered services, foster care, and adoption, and the primary outcomes of interest are to ensure child safety and prevent risk of harm, to ensure that a child has a permanent, nurturing, and loving home, whether through legal means or through customary adoptions, and to ensure the child's well-being across a number of domains in terms of socio-emotional development, physical health, and also to address the effects of trauma. We did find that over the past 20 years that there's been some very successful system-level reforms put in place. Practice models that emphasize comprehensive family assessments, so looking at families at risk or who have perpetrated child abuse and neglect from a holistic perspective. Efforts to engage families in in-service delivery and so that they buy into their case plan and the efforts to induce change. Privatization of services and differential response, which is actually occurring across 22 states right now and is going to be implemented in others. And the differential response systems allow for reports of child abuse and neglect to follow along two paths, such that low-risk families are are referred to intensive services, and higher risk families receive an investigation and go through that pathway. And through randomized controlled trials, we've found that through the use of differential response for low risk cases, that child safety is maintained, that there's fewer removals from the home, that there's increased access to services and greater family satisfaction with services. So it's very important to be able to connect the family response and engagement to service delivery and to examine, as we do from a more ecological perspective, how the individual, the family, and the community are nested in a system of care together. That said, we recognize that the response to child abuse and neglect is complex and multisystemic. And since 1993, there has been much progress, but the committee recognized that much more needs to be done. That research is needed to connect what works with the structures and processes that need to be in place to implement high-quality evidence-based interventions, and also to examine the practice and policy context in which those interventions have been put in place. Turning then from the systemic successes and challenges, we also address the fact that the research infrastructure needs to be addressed, and this was a particularly important finding of the committee that has national impact. In making the recommendations regarding the research challenges, we acknowledge that child abuse and neglect is an inherently complex problem. It's also a very challenging one to investigate. In terms of the complexity of the problem, it involves diverse, independent service systems. It involves multiple professionals working together, both from a practice and research perspective. It involves particularly challenging ethical issues, such as whether or not it's harmful to ask about the effects of abuse, or what age do you begin to do that? How do you obtain informed consent from maltreated adolescents and still respect human subject protections? How do you track participants in longitudinal studies? How do you induce people to participate in studies but not be coercive? Should researchers provide some form of intervention when a case of abuse, suspected abuse or neglect, comes to their attention? Researchers also have to wrestle with levels of outcome analysis, ranging from child-level cases to national aggregate-level statistics. So I think you can get a sense of what the scope of is involved in doing child abuse and neglect research. Further challenges pertain to the fact that it involves multiple disciplines, and sometimes these disciplines don't talk together or share a common language. And then also, the interventions that are put in place for families can vary significantly in terms of their timing, their duration, the intensity, and so it makes it difficult to isolate the effects of a particular intervention and to understand what works when there's so many other confounding factors at work. We also found that there's significant lack of high-level coordination for research support. Which brings us then to some of the key recommendations from the committee, that there's a need to develop, to recruit, to train, to nurture a cadre of researchers in child abuse and neglect, to develop a high-quality public health surveillance system so that we can detect early what the trends are, to link the risk and protective factors, and to put in place various strategies and controls to address it. Along those lines, it's also important to realize that there's diverse populations that are underserved and marginalized and that do not receive the research attention that they deserve. The committee placed great emphasis on learning more about children, military families, children who are disabled, American Indian, Alaskan Native children and families, LGBT youth, and also American Indian, Alaskan Native families. I think I said that right. I have 1 minute. Okay. There's been numerous policy changes put in effect over the past years, but however, we find that very few of them have been evaluated. So the committee suggested that there be a particular emphasis on examining legislative changes and to see how they affect children, families, communities, and the systems that they affect. And some important questions that have not been examined are, what are the training effect of training programs for mandated reporters? What are the effects of safe haven laws? What do we know about the incidence of child abuse and neglect on Indian lands? And this is just a very small sample of some of the questions that need to be addressed. Moving beyond the research agenda, the committee felt that it was important to go beyond demographics and to begin to disentangle cultural processes, stratification, ecological variations, and immigrant and acculturation status when looking at children and families involved in child maltreatment, that it was important to apply multidisciplinary, multi-method, and multi-sector approaches to research, and to leverage and build upon existing knowledge bases, including large studies, research definitions, designs, and other opportunities, and particularly those opportunities that are afforded through case linkage technologies that allow various systems to speak to each other. Des?
Thank you. So this is just an outline of some of the recommendations, and I think you heard all of this, and the report's available on the web for free, or the book will be published. It's in pre-publication at the desk downstairs, but you can get the final report, will be published in a couple of months. But developing a national coordination and prioritization of investment in child abuse and neglect, we think, is essential with a research agenda. We called on our federal partners that help support this research and federal agencies to develop and implement a national plan for sustaining research. We think that research infrastructure needs to be supported, including more attention to national child abuse and neglect surveillance. We need to build a cadre of researchers and child abuse research centers. This is actually the third IOM report that's called for research centers in child abuse and neglect, 1993, 2001, and now again. But we also call on for NIH to develop a special study section on child maltreatment, trauma, and violence to focus on this. And then we think that policy research on child abuse and neglect laws and policies is really important. We have 50 states, natural experiments of doing it different ways, and we think that that needs to be called upon. Some of this, in conclusion, those recommendations are recommendations that the Academy, the IOM is giving to the federal partners, but APHA and other organizations, including the Family Violence Caucus, may want to weigh in and make recommendations to the Center for Scientific Review on the importance of that. The report is available. There's a web page for it. The report can be downloaded, or you can visit the booth for IOM downstairs, and they'll be glad to give you access to figuring out how to get to this right away, and it will be published later. And finally, our email addresses are at the bottom if you have any questions. Do we have any time for questions, Marty?
We have about 2 minutes. Do you have any questions?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I get the sense that even though this is mainly focusing on research, you're calling for an effort on implementing the already known. Is that part of the mission?
The mission of the panel was to look at research and make recommendations to the Administration for Children, Youth, and Families, NIH, and other government agencies. And so we focused on research, but we also talked about the difficulties and importance of implementation science and moving the things that have been known, Triple P, Safe Care, et cetera, out into the larger community. So that dissemination research is called upon as well. Yes, that is attended to in the report. We truncated this here, but there was a special call for that as well.
There is a section devoted to it, but it's clearly in areas where more research is needed.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much.